Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Today's conversation is with Dick Burke, Associate Deputy Chief Information Officer for IT Reform, and Mark McCloy, Director, Office of Information Technology Reform, in the Office of the Chief Information Officer at HUD. Well, let me follow up on our last segment. The Information Technology Reform Office supports the Technology Investment Board Executive Committee. Could you tell us about the Technology Investment Board?
Yes. And maybe the way to describe it is through a process. I had mentioned on a quarterly basis we got together and review projects. On a yearly basis we get together and review what is going to be funded. But after we review it, we make recommendations to what we call the Technology Investment Board Executive Committee. This is the committee headed by the Secretary of HUD, and all the assistant secretaries are members of the board. So once we've made technical decisions, these folks can sit down and apply whatever decisions or priorities they wish. If they disagree with us, then they change whatever they want to change. It could be that the Secretary of HUD decides that he wants to put emphasis on Project X or bring in his own project and he wants to apply different funds for that. Obviously, that is a go at that point, and the issue would be we only have so many dollars. So we try to figure out where the dollars will be subtracted and how we can do a secretarial or an assistant secretarial initiative at that point. So we recommend to the executive committee exactly what we think is best for HUD, and they either agree or disagree. Most of the time they do agree, but if, as I said, if they have some priority that they want to make happen or put more emphasis or more dollars on something, then they do it. And the system actually works. It gets a little difficult because there are limited dollars, and on an average year we probably have 30% to 40% more requests for dollars than we actually have dollars. So obviously, we've got to figure out what is the best process to make this happen. We try to do it. We recommend where the best returns on investment are, and the executive board, chaired by the secretary, actually make it happen. Until their approval, nothing is real.
We understand that the Office of IT Reform is charged with developing and implementing an IT performance measurement program. Could you tell us about the program you're currently using?
It's basically we're in the process of developing the performance measurement program. That is the tail end of the process. When we put together an investment portfolio, what we sit down and say is that we need X dollars, and at some point in time, something will happen. That something is measured after the system is delivered. We're in the process of trying to put it together with other federal agencies, how you measure performance at the end of the process, but it really isn't the end. This is the many years, the operational dollars that are important to the government on a year-to-year time frame. You know, if we said that we're going to process 10,000 new housing applications in 6 months, are we doing that? Does the system meet up to that? Does it need more dollars to do it? Is the system that we have in place the wrong system, meaning that it might have been aged technology because it takes a while to field some of the systems out there, and we might need new technology. Obviously, there's new software released every day, and we might have to upgrade it. It continues the process through the entire life cycle by measuring it when we actually have an operational system, and it's done by establishing a baseline and then reporting against the baseline that you've already established.
Well, let me skip back to the beginning of the process, because the Office of IT Reform is charged with conducting economic and risk analysis of proposed IT projects. What lessons could you pass along to other government leaders about undertaking these types of reviews prior to committing to an IT project?
First thing, pay attention to your mission. Don't go outside of the mission of the department. A lot of folks, you know, we talk about creeping requirements. Don't do that. I mean, do what the mission says. If it's housing, stick with housing. If it's safe housing, stick with the parameters of safe housing. Understand clearly what your requirements are, and don't go monkeying around with them, and get user buy-in. You know, too many projects in the federal government, we haven't had a clear understanding of what the user said, and we chase the project all the way around the scoreboard and can't figure out what the actual requirement was. You have to put those in concrete. You have to make sure that senior management has a positive buy-in. They understand what you're going to do, and then do it, and don't keep changing the requirements. So effectively, the lesson learned is hold the folks to the task that they agreed on before they got the capital venture from the United States Treasury. That's it. They made a deal with a requirement, and you don't go changing it in the middle unless you get senior level approval that you're going to, you know, pitch a different way. And I mean, when you don't, it doesn't work. I mean, we have too many projects in government that just don't work.
Other guests have discussed the difficulty.
Of course, we don't have them at HUD.
No, that's right. Yes, yes. We HUD to the contrary, notwithstanding.
Other guests have discussed the difficulties in successfully implementing large IT projects or even halting the momentum of an expensive project. How do you deal with those two issues?
One of the things that we've learned about building software over the last 10 years is small teams work very, very well. Large teams don't work. To me, if a project is off track, cut the dollars, slow it down, get different management running the project. Bring in a superstar or two, or a technical wizard or genius. They're few and far between, but when you bring them in, I mean, there are folks, you know, that are gifted and talented in the government that are doing fellowships, etc. Or you could bring in a Lincoln Lab. You can bring in a very, very creditable organization that has faced the same problems in another place, and let them help you. And don't be so, you know, prideful, I guess is the right word, that you won't listen to some of the advice that they give you. Go back, make sure that the users are happy. If your user isn't happy, take a hike. I mean, that's the bottom line, Dick.
Well, I think experience is the key factor here that you're looking for. You're going to have somebody who's terribly bright and understands a particular field, whether it be, you know, data warehousing or whatever it happens to be. But if they haven't walked through that once before, if they haven't walked through that in a fairly pretty good-sized organization and understood not just the technology of it, but the other side of it, how do you get and maintain user buy-in to the project at hand and extend it over a period of time? There is a fair amount of so some people use it as, you know, terminology as marketing. I don't know if I would really talk about that, but there's an educational process in it, and there is a constant feedback loop back to the business owners and to the people affected that has to happen as you move through the development of the project in order to sustain that kind of support. In those instances where the project is going south, you know, you can have the best policeman in the world, but I will tell you that the end user, the project buyer, will let you know soon enough if that thing is going wrong. Then what you need to have is a mechanism in place so that issues around that project can get surfaced and get dealt with. Some folks talk about having an enterprise-wide project management office, or some office where you can go to say, hey, I've got a serious problem here. I've had changing requirements, or I have the user owner has changed and therefore has a different set of requirements, or we've run into a snag here technically and we need to get this resolved. We either need to bring in somebody stronger, or we need to reconfigure the integrated product team, or a whole variety of other factors. We need to take a look at the new technology because what we thought this year is something's gone wrong with the firm or something's gone wrong with the technology. And a place where the project director can bring those, get that resolved, and then move on and do it quickly. So much of the real problems that I have experienced and seen, some firsthand I might admit, have been simply that these things have let go and there's not a resolution of the issue quickly.
What's the relationship between strategy and IT modernization?
I think when you're trying to do a strategy, you're trying to look at a process that will get you to a location in time and place and equipment, where IT modernization is you just might have to crank something up that actually is more compatible to the technology of the day. You really have to sit down and think before you act. I learned something from NASA a long time ago, and what I learned was if you have 10 seconds to solve a problem, use the first 9 to think about it. Do it in the 10th.
That's a good point for a break. Coming up, we'll discuss the expected wave of retirements and find out who's going to be running HUD. More of the Business of Government Hour in just a minute.